home, Bobby. Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up.
Woo! This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
Luke Bryan comes in later on today. That'd be fun. Friday morning dance parties. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Let's see what's happening with everybody in our segment we call What's the Haps.
Hey, what's the haps?
I'm in a traffic light yesterday. I'm there in my car, hanging out. And here's somebody in the truck next to me. Just like a, I can hear them through my window. And I look over, and it's this big red work truck. Got rails on the back, holding in a bunch of garbage. And I'm like, well, that guy looks familiar. And he just, whatever he's talking about, he is fully animated. And again, all this happening in like 6-7 seconds because we're at a red light. I look over and it's John Party. And so I'm like,
in a big red truck.
In a big red work truck. And so I think, is John Party like hauling something? Like, and maybe it wasn't him. So I roll my window down. He goes, hey, Bobby. And so we sit there. Where were those two cars that sit?
Yes.
It wasn't a super busy road. We sit and just kind of yelled at each other, like talking through it. And it's always a weird how to end the conversation. But then a car honked at us.
I gotta go.
Yeah, but it was just weird that I looked up and it was a super jacked up work truck and it was John Party sitting in it.
Did you say, what are you doing?
Well, I knew what he was doing. He was hauling. So after I realized.
Working.
Yeah, he was just like, I just got back down. And, you know, John and I are buds a little bit. But I didn't know that was his truck. We had John Party. Celebrities are just like us.
Oh, man, that's funny.
They also drive big red work trucks around town.
Right.
Probably working on, like, his land.
He's always doing something.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the hat?
Amy, what's going on?
So my daughter got a real email address, and I got excited when I saw that she sent me an email because I thought this could be a new way for us to communicate. And like, I want to send her special notes because these are things she can keep forever. And then years from now, look back and be like, oh, this is the note mom sent me or whatever. So I get an email in my inbox and it says mom in the subject line. And I'm like, oh, can't wait to see what she wants to share with me. And I open it up and she's like, can you bring me some pudding? So I was like, okay, great.
She's emailing you now for food.
Awesome.
Right.
That's funny.
So, yeah, we'll see how this whole email thing works out, but I'm proud.
All right, let's go over to Eddie. Hey!
Hey, what's the hat?
Bones, you're going to love this. So I took my kids over to a trampoline park. This is the place.
Oh, I saw you on Instagram story doing this?
Yeah.
And I thought you were out of your mind.
Well, first off, yeah, that's crazy. Like, I'm 40 years old. I probably shouldn't be doing that. But I thought of you immediately. I'm like, this place is kind of dirty, like,
oh, there's
full
no way, yeah,
of germs, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought about it for a second, and my wife and I looked at each other and like, look, there's no one here. We have our little baby. Let him crawl around on the trampolines and do whatever. Bones, he crawled around all day. Now he has a stomach bug. And for sure, my wife and I are like, trampoline place.
Oh, he
has to be.
I saw you do a flip off a trampoline into like a ball pit.
Yeah. Ugh.
And first of all, I thought you're going to be so sore the next day.
I was.
And then secondly, I thought, you're jumping into all those foam balls, mm-hmm, and that is just probably got coronavirus.
Probably.
Baby.
As soon as I hit those foam squares or whatever, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get sick.
Was it
sure.
so fun?
That was a blast.
Are you so sore still?
Yeah, for sure. The hardest part isn't the jump or the landing. It was getting out of that foam pit. I didn't show you, but it took me 5 minutes to get out of that pit. It was so hard.
I meant to hit you about that on Instagram story. Eddie is a little bit athletic.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Un poquito athletic.
Yeah.
He jumps up and does a big circle flip into the ball. That was pretty impressive.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
There you go. Hey.
Hey, what's the hat?
Speaking of that, you know, by the way, Lunchbox isn't here, but his wife a few years ago was at a trampoline place and tore her ankle.
Like the first minute there.
Yeah, first minute.
Like walked in, jumped, appreciate that. Ripped. Congrats, tore it. We just had somebody walk in and go, congrats on the ACM. I'll tell you, it was Luke's coming in later.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that was Luke.
If anyone's going to interrupt us.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
I was like, what's he already doing up here? I guess they're doing some other stuff up here too.
Luke Bryan, hey.
Luke's like, hey man, I know it's recording, but I'm not on for like an hour and a half, but congrats.
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
All right, on the phone right now, Lunchbox. And I wonder, hey, are you at the hospital or are you at home?
Hospital.
He sounds like he's asleep, too.
Oh, man.
Have you been sleeping at the hospital?
Yeah, I sleep on the little couch. Like, you know, they don't take care of the fathers at the hospital. They just give you a little slice of a couch, and they say, here you go. They give the wife a nice big bed. But I'm a champ, and I did it.
Did this call wake you up?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, the doctors come in and out every couple hours, so you wake up with them, and you go back to sleep, and you go back and wake up, so... Yeah, I mean, this woke me up for this time.
Well, tell us what happened. So you had the baby. At this point, it's been 2 days now. So kind of walk us through it.
So we get here, whatever night that was, at 1 a.m., and they just kind of check you in for 2 hours, taking vitals, and then at 3:30 in the morning, they gave her a pill, like, and she just, they like disintegrated in her mouth to start the labor process. So that's cool. And then they came back in at 6 that morning, and they gave her something called Pitocin that really gets it going. And then they kept coming in every couple hours, checking. They came in at like 11 a.m. They're like, oh, you know, you still got like 4 hours to go. Like, no problem. Don't worry about it. So then about an hour and a half later, the doctor stopped by and goes, well, you're ready to push. Okay, so much for 4 hours. And so we got everything, and they set everything up. And my wife started pushing at 12:40 on whatever day that was. It was a Wednesday. And at 1:10 p.m., baby comes, comes crying out. 30 minutes, that was it.
And you were in the room.
Yeah, I was in the room. Heck yeah, I was in the room.
Did you watch it come out?
Pushed her through. Yeah, we put a mirror right there so you can watch it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Didn't he used to be the guy that was like, I would never watch it or never be in the room?
I don't know. I think he watched his last one.
Well, until he had a baby.
Yeah,
right. He was probably like, that'll ruin it for life.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it's like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And last time she pushed for 4 hours to have our first kid, this time 30 minutes. So I don't know. It was incredible. And the baby comes out and it's like, wah, wah. And then there you have a baby. It's like, wow. You're
so
exhausted.
Before we get the actual gender reveal, you didn't know, right, what it was going to be?
I had no idea.
Okay.
No idea.
Did you feel like you knew?
Yeah, I felt like I knew. I felt like I knew because there were so many people in my family that were having dreams about a certain gender. And, like, just randomly, my cousin would call me and be like, oh, I had a dream last night that you're having this. And, wow, okay. And it was like, he was like the fifth person. So I was just convinced what we were having.
And the baby,
we're on,
and everything's healthy. The baby's healthy.
Oh yeah, baby's healthy. Like no NICU this time. I mean, baby came in at a big old 7 pounds 3 ounces. Just awesome.
Okay, are we ready? We're ready for the gender reveal.
Yes.
Who knows?
I know. Yeah.
Morgan, do you know?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Amy, do you know?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. All right, so we're finding out at the same time. Lunchbox, go ahead, talk us down.
Hello, guys. Everybody wants me to be a girl dad. Oh, you're going to be such a good girl dad because I got a boy at home. The baby comes out, and the doctor says, here you go, lays the baby down, and I open the legs, and it's a boy!
Hey! It's a two boys. Were most people right about the dreams? Did most people think it was going to be a boy?
Well, they all thought it was going to be a girl.
Oh, they did.
They all had girl dreams, and so it was just like, oh, my gosh. It was,
It's a weird description. I opened the legs.
I know.
I know.
And there was
like, okay.
We got it, Lunch.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to sleep. There he is, Lunchbox, the big gender reveal this morning. He had a second boy.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, when do you leave the hospital, Lunchbox?
Later today.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Are you
awesome.
As nervous about getting the baby home? As last time?
Well, yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking. It's a little different because this one, we've had the baby overnight, a couple nights. Like, so we've had it in the room. Whereas the first one, we didn't have any parenting until we took it home because it was in the NICU. So I feel a little bit better because the baby's bigger. We've had it in the room. But it's a weird feeling. It's really cool that we actually get to take the baby home when we leave. And it was crazy because I got to hold the baby the first day. Like, I didn't get to hold my first baby until a week later. So it's been a totally different experience. And it's just been, so I'm not as nervous because I've done it before. I'm like, oh, this one's healthy. So this should be easy. But once I strap him into the car seat, that's when it's going to hit me like, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I'm taking him home. Like, this is crazy. And it's been emotional. Been a lot of tears, a lot of happy tears. And it's crazy.
There he is. One last time. This is the Bobby Bones Show. Over to Kim in Florida. Kim, what's happening with you?
Hi, is this Bobby?
It is. Is this Kim?
This is.
What's happening, Kim?
How are you?
I'm really good.
I just wanted to let you know that every morning it is a pleasure to listen to you guys. I look forward to getting into my car on my way to work, and sometimes I don't even want to get out of my car because I want to finish listening to you guys. You all, the whole gang, is amazing, and I just wanted to tell you, I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that feels this way. You guys are just truly, you put a smile on my face every morning.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Let you guys know.
Let me say a couple things. That's the biggest compliment that you can get for my whole career has been someone going, you know, I had somewhere to go, but I sat in the car and finished. Now you can hit the app if you want, whatever the case is. It's just the fact that you'll stay with us longer than your initial desire was is really the biggest compliment that I can get, because I know there are shows that I'm listening to. When I'm in the car, I'm listening on a podcast or I'm listening to a radio show, and I'm like, oh, I want it to end right now. I'm just going to chill. And that, to me, I'm so into it that really is the biggest compliment. Second thing I want to say, if you do miss something and you do have to get out of the car, let's say there's a fire or kidnapping or something, go and listen to the podcast later on. Just search Bobby Bones Show on Demand on iHeartRadio. Listen to the podcast and you can catch up then. Three, this is my final point and question here, is that we are an acquired taste, I say, because we don't sound like a normal radio show. I don't have a great voice. I'm not even that good of a speaker, to be honest with you. I talk too fast. I have a southern accent. It's just not someone you would think would be a great broadcaster. So a lot of people will turn us on for the first time and go, I don't even know what this is. It sounds like people just having an awkward conversation. Yes, that's exactly what it is. but we do try to be very honest, and you know, our brand is kind of authenticity. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood and it comes across on the air because I don't try to hide what I'm not. Sometimes Amy's cranky. So we are who we are, and we try to make sure that you guys know that we are fault. We don't come on here and try to be anything that we're not. So I appreciate that compliment. Kim, if there's a brand new listener listening for the first or second time, what would your advice be to them with listening to this show?
Just keep listening. You guys are just regular people, and you show that every morning. I mean, like you said, you don't try to be anyone you're not. You're just an awesome, awesome, awesome radio station to listen to. And when you guys go off in the morning when it's your turn, someone else's turn, I hate it.
Yeah, me too. I hate it.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
I'm from Tallahassee, so you guys, you know, you're not all day. But I just can't wait for you to come back on.
Well,
so
thank you.
You guys are just awesome. The way you get along, everything about it is awesome. I can't say enough.
Wow. Wow, that's a great call.
Nice.
Kim, thank you. Hope you have a great day, and we appreciate you jumping on and talking with us.
Well, you just made my day, so thank you.
All right. Mutual. We made each other.
Day made, yes.
All right. Thanks, Kim. Have a good morning.
Thank you, guys.
Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Raymundo, what you got?
An evacuee from China is now in Texas. It has become the 15th American with coronavirus. The CDC is warning, be prepared. The infection is going to take a foothold in the U.S. In other news in sports, the Astros stars Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve apologize for their role in the cheating scandal. The team's owner, Jim Crane, insists their sign-stealing scheme didn't impact the game. And finally, major rivers in 9 states are near flood stage because of all the rain. Officials are also warning about the extreme cold. Most places are going to feel 10 to 20 degrees colder than usual today.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go to Trish in Ohio. Hey, Trish, what's happening with you?
Good morning, studio.
Morning.
I actually have a question for you, Amy. I am planning a wedding. And I actually am wondering, how did you handle the stress when you got married and how you got your husband involved? My fiance does not want to do any of the planning.
Oh, shoot. Okay, I might be the worst person to ask because my husband was in England the entire time because he was in the Air Force and that's where he was stationed. So he wasn't even here for the planning. And I planned my wedding in 8 weeks. So I didn't have time to be stressed, really. I feel like something that got me through it, though, was having my family and friends and heavily involved. And they really helped. They came alongside and helped me with a lot. So yeah, good luck with that. I have no idea. My husband would just tell your husband to leave the country.
Hey, Trish, I'm going to bring in someone maybe you wouldn't expect, who's Raymundo.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Who is actually going through the planning of a wedding himself. Raymundo, so the whole story is she's super stressed. And then how does she get her husband involved?
Well, you definitely got to have some meetings at night where you talk about stuff, because I really don't even know what my fiance needs help with. And so she would say, hey, I need you to talk to your mom about this. I need you to line up the DJ. I didn't even know those were things she was having trouble finding. So as long as you have a nightly, weekly meeting, then you know the stuff you're doing, she's doing. Usually the woman's doing a lot more than the guy, but I do try to help out in fields that I'm good at. DJ, I should be able to find a DJ, right? So, I mean, that's what we did.
So are you saying, if I'm getting this right, that she needs to just task orient her fiance, about to be husband, to go, hey, I need this thing done specifically, and just send them like a dog plan fetch.
Exactly. It's almost like a job. You just need to have little your Monday morning meetings whenever you need to, yeah.
That's good advice.
Trish, what do you think about that?
That is actually awesome. The only downside is my fiance works second shift and I'm on first shift.
Well, I'll just never talk.
Even if you write an email, I think what Raymundo is saying is that, you know, just to go, hey, I need you to be more involved, probably isn't going to work.
Delegate.
But to go, I need this specific task mm-hmm. done for the wedding, probably does work. We as men are pretty dense, and so we need specific direction.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
When are you getting married?
I am getting married September 25th of 2021. He actually proposed in a sunflower field.
Okay, so. Wait, well, you do not need to be stressed. Like, you have so much time. There is nothing to stress about, right?
Holy moly.
Like, you could just take your sweet little time. Am I missing something? You have,
my mom is by... So we got engaged on September 6th. Of 2019, and by like September 20th, we already had a venue, because the time we want to get married, they were already booking and we're already filling up.
Oh,
so
wow.
we literally, because we're doing an outside wedding and in a barn, and we actually already have now booked DJ venue. We have photographer and caterer, but the main thing I'm stressing is my mom is working two jobs. And so is my dad, and my parents are older, and I'm the youngest getting married, and I want to try and help, but I just started a new job, so it's really hard for me to get back on my feet, but also contribute to the wedding, too, at the same time. Well, so that's where I'm really stressing.
Your wedding is so far away, you can take some of that retirement, you can build a whole new career before you have... Listen, you're right now, you're okay.
Yeah.
If you're 6 to 8 months out... I think there are some valid concerns about stress.
Plus a year.
I'm saying if she's 6 to 8 months out from her wedding, there's these concerns are valid.
Oh, they're valid, yeah. But you have a long time.
How old are you, Trish?
I will be 27.
All right. Okay. All of your concerns are valid. Your feelings are right. I hope you guys are able to get it all together. Just take a breath. You have enough time. Take a breath.
Yeah.
A lot can happen.
Yeah, that's what my mom says. She says, relax. And I'm like, I can't.
Well, good luck. Appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys so much. I listen to you every morning on my way to work. You guys are amazing. And Bobby and Eddie, I actually listen to you guys all the time. You help get me through a lot of... I battle severe mental illness, so you guys actually helped get me through a lot of my down days just by having a good laugh. So thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. Have a good morning.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. I just don't know. If I ever got engaged, there's no way I would be engaged for 18 months.
Yeah.
Want to get it over with pretty
quick?
Oh,
it's like 30 days.
Well, but technically he proposed in September, so that's a two-year engagement.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's... But I don't know, because she said the venue was booking up. Maybe it wasn't available until 21.
And it may not be the best for me to go, I'm getting married in 30 days, and she wants to have a certain type of wedding. But I also just don't see myself with someone who's going to need a year to plan a wedding. Like, I don't feel like that's my match mm-hmm. when it comes to sensibilities.
That might be when you find out it's not your match.
Oh, when will you get engaged?
You get engaged, and then she's like, okay, I'm going to need a year. And Bobby's like, oh, my bad. Did I propose? I didn't mean to.
Man, 2 years. That's crazy to be engaged that long. Who even knows if you want to be married in 2 years?
Some people are engaged
for years
and years and years. I bet we probably have listeners right now that have been engaged for 3 or 4 years.
But that's probably without a date.
Yeah.
If you get engaged with no date at the end of it, that I understand more. It's just the guy dragging his feet.
Right.
But if you get engaged and go, this is the date we're getting married in 2027, that's weird. Bobby Bones Show. Coming up later on, Luke Bryan in studio as part of our Friday morning conversation. Always love to see this guy. I didn't book him, You know, it's one of those things where Luke and I are close enough friends now where I don't even ask him to come on the show, but I'm super pumped he's going to be here. So Luke Bryan coming up in a little bit. Now, the spinoff, Amy segment, Fun Fact Friday. Here we go.
Fun Fact Friday. Yay!
All right, we have five fun facts. Amy, here we go. Number five.
Number five.
So the screenwriter who wrote Castaway spent a week alone on a deserted island for research, and a volleyball washed up on the shore, which is where he got the idea for Wilson.
No idea. Way. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's so fun.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm.
That's a very fun fact.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Here we go.
Number four.
So when you're on a plane, you're under the laws of the country where the plane is registered, not where you take off from. So if you punch someone on an Air Canada flight that took off in the U.S., you'll face charges in Canada.
I just assumed wrongly.
Where you were hovering.
Yeah, like whatever I was over.
Yeah.
The airspace.
Right. Which would be awful if you were flying.
Over Afghanistan.
Yeah. So, like, say you're on your way somewhere cool, but you fly over somewhere awful, and at that exact moment.
Air Abu Dhabi does not sound fun.
No.
No. All right.
Number three.
So Mick Jagger and Keith Richards randomly met each other at a train station in 1961. Mick was 18 and Keith was 17, and they started talking about a blues record that Mick was holding. That's how it all started.
Amy and I randomly met at a Culver's in Austin, Texas, and I was getting an oil change, just trying to have a little ice cream, and that's how it all started.
I think you were getting your tire fixed or something.
I was getting tires rotated.
Tires and oil, maybe something that you were eating alone. It was 2005.
A sub fun fact is that before the segment, Amy goes, "What band are Mick Jagger in?"
Oh my goodness.
I wanted to help me. I asked you that in private. I could have Googled it myself and figured it out, but I told Bobby he was faster than Google. So I just said, "Mick and Keith, what band?
I just want to make sure
in the Rolling Stones.
Nice. They're playing a stadium tour. They're actually playing in town.
Rude.
Would you want to go?
I've been.
Oh, is it
good? I saw them a couple years ago. It's awesome because it's them. They look like they're, I don't want to offend anyone, but it looks like they're almost going to die. So it's pretty amazing to see them still rocking out.
But is it good?
It's cool because the songs are good, but man, they look pretty rough.
But how does it sound?
It sounds great. It sounds like the Rolling Stones.
It does?
Yeah. I mean, they mess up a few times. It's kind of cool. Keep it real. And they're not playing the tracks. You can tell.
You don't think there's a bunch of secret musicians down like behind the curtain playing?
No. Because at one point, Keith Richards got tired and he stopped playing. And you can hear that guitar go away. Yeah.
He just got tired.
He just got tired. He stretched a little bit and then he picked it back up and you can hear it.
Took a nap.
Number two.
So the guy who created Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda was not allowed to ride his bicycle to work at Nintendo because they thought it was too dangerous for someone so valuable.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, yes, crazy to hear, right? But I would compare that to Tom Brady not being allowed to go snow skiing because he's too valuable. And so in their contract, Ben Roethlisberger couldn't ride his motorcycle. You can't do things that would keep you from doing what they're paying you to do.
This guy's like Tom Brady?
Wow.
Well, yeah.
Do you have anything like that? Wow. Are you not allowed to do something because...
I don't...
Yeah, you have voice insurance, don't you?
Yes, but I don't...
But that's different
so
than...
So you can't scream for like an hour straight.
Contractually not...
I don't think so. There are weird clauses in my contract. And there are insurance things. Like, our head of security here was only... Because of my contract and because of insurance reasons, I have a full-time security person who, one, makes sure Amy and I get in the building. But if I'm doing something in public, it's not about me. The company's not like, we got to protect our boy. But because if I go down and we're on so many stations, they're like, they have to somehow cover that with... Because we have a bunch of... sponsors who are on because of me. So if I go down, they're out a bunch of money. So they buy insurance, and to get insurance cheaper, they hire security. It's all of that.
So you are kind of like this Nintendo
Nothing
guy.
Like that. Oh. But a crazy story, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, here we go.
Number one.
So Starbucks and Pete's Coffee, they were founded and owned by some of the same people. But a few of them sold their stake in Starbucks in 1987 to focus on Pete's.
Yikes.
So... Which is still successful, I'm sure.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, you haven't? I've seen it in airports. I don't know if it's regional because I definitely, that's where I've seen it. But it's like, oh, dang, Starbucks was everywhere.
The guy that sold his share of Apple. Starbucks. You know, back in the day, one of my friends was like, His name is Jeff, and he was like, hey, we're doing this company where we do books. And I was like, Jeff, this, what Amazon, I'm not trying to be in that. And there it is, Jeff Bezos.
Dang.
Amazon, yeah.
Dang, I made the whole thing up.
That's not true.
That's crazy.
All right, thank you very much. Close it up.
Fun Fact Friday.
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Kelsea Ballerini shared the fourth song off her next album called Hole in the Bottle. She debuted it during Country Radio Seminar Week and dubbed it her drinking song.
I swear I just came here to unwind and have one drink. The way it looks ain't what you think. This cabinet has a way of finishing.
Jimmy Allen shared a new collaboration. The song is called This Is Us with pop artist Noah Cyrus.
It was just you, and now it's just me, and now it's just the way that it used to be. And we were just keys back then, trying to figure out what it was.
Kenny Chesney dropped a new song called Here and Now, saying he hopes his fans, No Shoes Nation, feels the spirit of this song and finds the good in Here and Now. I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
Tell me something good.
All right, over to producer Eddie, who's got it now.
5-year-old Noah Woods, he wakes up in the middle of the night and there's smoke and flames in his bedroom. He didn't panic. What he did was he grabbed his 2-year-old sister, quick thinking, and escaped with her through an open window. And then he came back in the house and grabbed the dog. And took the dog outside of safety as well.
Holy crap.
After all that, Noah runs next door to get his uncle. And he's like, the rest of the family members are still in the house. Come help me. So him and the uncle get the rest of the family out. He is credited with 7 saves from this family blaze.
How old's the kid?
He's 5 years old.
What?
I'm going to be honest with you. I have a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old. I don't think they'd be able to do this. Like, just knowing them right now, I don't see them doing something like this.
He went back and got the dog.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
crazy.
How
crazy is that?
And he's got how many saves?
He had 7 saves.
Dang, that's more than your lifeguard time.
That's correct.
Because how many did you have as a lifeguard?
I had 3 total.
Okay, just making sure.
One was a double, though.
Yeah. Right,
double set.
Still 3, though. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
All right, Eddie, filling up for Lunchbox. What you got?
All right, so a guy in Florida was drunk driving, following a cop, and decides to pull the cop over. Cop says, okay, well, let me see what this guy's all about. He gets out. He smells alcohol. He says, hey, let me get you out of your car real quick. I'm going to do a little alcohol test on you. He goes, no, you're not. I pulled you over, officer. You didn't pull me over. So obviously he failed his drinking test and he went to jail.
I wonder if he thought he really pulled the cop over.
Probably. He was so drunk he thought it. Who knows?
Or if he thought, I'm so smart, I may flip it on the cop and he'll be like, oh, yeah, it's a good point.
And what was the cop thinking when he's like, okay, I guess I'm getting pulled over right now?
Yeah. It's kind of scary someone's on the road that drunk, though.
Ugh.
You know, when you really think about it, bonehead.
And you know what's even scarier is that people are texting all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That distracted.
I know. I've got to, like, maybe put my phone in my console maybe and lock it.
I'm not going to bring it up right now, but I will say that I had to have a talk with Amy.
Uh-oh.
About her phone.
You can bring it up right now.
Did you see something?
It doesn't matter.
You said, okay.
It doesn't matter.
Actually, I thought we weren't going to bring it
We're
up.
We're not bringing it up.
I chose to put myself into this and say that I need to put my phone
We're
away.
Not
so I
bring
chose,
it up.
But you told me we were not going to bring
We're
it up.
We're not bringing it up.
Hey, no one's talking about it, Amy.
All I'm saying is that you brought the fact up that you should put your phone away. And I said, well, yeah, we've had to have a conversation.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Eddie, you want to close it out?
Yeah, that's your bonehead story of the day.
You know, a lot of times we talk about one-hit wonders, but there are also two-hit wonders. So it's artists who managed to pull off two, but then couldn't do anything else. So I'll play you 2 songs from a two-hit wonder.
Mm.
You just have to name the artist. You can all jump in this one, okay? We'll just see how many you get out of 5. So, for example, Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style.
This is a number one song.
You had 2?
Gangnam Style.
And then a song called Gentleman, which went to number 5.
Ah. Sounds just like the first one.
I mean, what? I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Do you know who had that two-hit wonder? Morgan, you in?
No.
Play Gangnam Style again. Do you remember this?
I do, but what? I'm thinking of the guy who sings Shebangs, and I don't
No, it's not.
You're not thinking of Ricky Martin. You're thinking of William Hung?
Yes. I mean, that's my answer, but I know it's not right.
Okay. Morgan, what's your answer?
William Hung.
Eddie?
Psy.
Amy?
Psy.
Yeah, P-S-Y, Psy. Who is from South Korea, right?
I don't know.
Right?
Oh, I just put S-I. Hmm.
Well, you got it. Psy. All right. How about this one? Here is, name this two-hit wonder. Here are the two songs. The first one is a song called Good Vibrations.
Feel it, feel it.
Feel it, feel it.
We'll let it play for a second. Okay, and then his other song, the artist's other song, is called Wild Side. Washed up dreams, shattered pride, all because Zanny took a hit on the wild side.
This is great. This is great stuff.
I have no idea.
Come on, Amy.
Morgan?
You want my answer?
I'm in.
Yeah. William Hung? Go ahead.
Temptations?
Oh, the Temptations.
Wow. Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, not even close. Amy?
Marky Mark?
Yeah. That's it. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Okay, I wrote down in the Funky Bunch.
Eddie?
Marky Mark, dude.
Yeah, that's it. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
Phew.
Who didn't get a New Kids on the Block, went his own way. Donnie, his brother's a New Kids on the Block. Donnie that's Wahlberg. Right. Okay, let's do this one. Can you name this two-hit wonder? Here's a song called Fireflies. Because I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs. And his second song, which went to number 18, is called Good Time. We don't even have to
try. It's always a good time. Oh, this is a jam, dude.
Morgan, you know this one?
Yeah, I think so.
Go ahead.
Owl City?
Yeah.
Yes.
Eddie?
Far East Movement.
Oh, wow, you missed it.
Yeah. I could maybe win this.
Amy?
Owl City.
Owl City is right. Wow, look at you guys. Let's do a couple more. Number 7 on the list, Raymundo. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Which you may know this song. The same artist had I Don't Wanna Wait. Here you go. I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be? I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. All right, who is that artist?
I'm an idiot.
Morgan?
The Flower Girls.
The Flower Girls.
That's a great name.
Eddie?
Sarah McLachlan.
Amy?
Sixpence?
Mm-mm. Paula Cole.
Paula
Cole. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's the score? Amy has 3.82. Oh, Amy's going to win a music game.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wow.
We have one more.
Cue my music, Ray.
We have one more. The Thong Song. There you go. Let me see that thong. And Incomplete.
You've never heard this one. She's dancing like she's the number one fan.
Okay, Amy, do you know it?
Yeah,
don't say
I know
it. Do you know it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Morgan, do you know this?
No.
My life
is incomplete. Nope, but I'm going to guess R. Kelly.
No.
Oh, oh no, wow, no, no, no.
I'd
no,
never
no,
go on a limb with that
no,
one.
No, 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 Morgan number two.
Just keep that one out of my mouth.
Any other word.
Eddie?
Cisco.
Yeah, Amy for the win.
Cisco!
Yeah. Oh! Eddie, Amy beat you in the music game.
You got me, man.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
I want to start off with a feel-good story. So there's this 8-year-old girl in Arkansas who tragically lost her dad during the holidays, but the father-daughter dance was coming up at her school this weekend, and the school resource officer that works there, he decided to step in and take her and be her dad fill-in.
So that's great.
Which is like so sweet. And he said that he's got 3 daughters, but they're all too old for the father-daughter dance. So he plans on taking her. She's in 2nd grade, so she has a few more years of going to the dance, and he plans on taking her every year.
That's great.
I know.
Shout out Arkansas. Only in Arkansas would that happen, by the way.
I know. And his name is Nick Harvey, so shout out Nick Harvey. LeBron James, he gets paid to do an Instagram post. Like, one post is about how much he makes for an entire NBA game. So you imagine how hard he has to work during a game. You know what he gets per game? What? Have you done the math? I did the math on his salary. It's 400.
Did you do the math or is it written out for you?
It's written out.
Okay.
$451,000 per game. And then to do an Instagram post is $300,000. Wow. So one click, deed, or like run up and down the court 500 million times. It's pretty crazy. And speaking of money, we have about $20 billion of this going unused in America. And I bet some of us have it in our purse or wallets right now, and that is gift cards. So this is my friendly reminder that there's a lot of money floating out there, and including me. Like when I read this article, I was like, oh yeah, I was given like a $25 Visa gift card and I have it in my purse and I should use that the next time I go to Target or the grocery store and make sure I use it before I lose it.
That's how these companies make a lot of off of us at Christmas time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We buy gift cards for people and then a lot of them don't get used. So it's just money that they get that they never have to actually give back.
Yeah.
Through products.
Tons of them were just unredeemed. A quarter of us lose it and another 25% let it expire. Well, that's a real bummer if you're going to get, like that was paid with cash. It expires. So I don't know. Just search your bags.
I did see the Whitney Houston hologram tours beginning this week.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, like this weekend, I think they take that. Would you pay to go to a hologram tour of your favorite artist that's not alive anymore?
Yeah.
I would too.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, I would too. Not because I think it's them, but I just like the music and the experience.
Yeah, you like them so like, much.
This is the future.
I'm sure it'd be pretty cool. Because I would go to like a documentary movie of them probably. Like who's my favorite dead artist?
Dead.
Oh. Who's your favorite Elvis? Dead artist?
Oh, I was going to say Michael Jackson.
That's okay. You can still say that.
Okay.
Tupac.
He's alive.
Okay. Yours will be Elvis.
Elvis for sure.
Maybe all four of the Beatles back, or maybe for me, Nirvana.
Oh, yeah. I bet you'd go to
that.
Man,
that'd be cool, dude.
But they're all alive but one. But it's like three real ones plus the...
Yeah, that'd be weird for them.
But the Whitney Houston hologram tour is beginning this weekend, mm-hmm. next week. They're doing like 13 shows or so, and if it's big, then they end up bringing it and doing it a lot bigger in the States. All right, Amy, is that it?
Yeah, Amy, that's my pile. Come
on. It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
There was a bunch of adults and kids swimming at a pool, Holiday Inn Express, so hotel pool, people having a good time. And all of a sudden, this one young girl sees a little boy drowning. So she screams and yells for her godmother to come over. Then two off-duty nurses happen to be at the pool at the same time. So they come over. They pull the boy who had sunk to the bottom. They are able to give him CPR and revive him. And now the four people, the girl that found the boy drowning, the godmother, and the two nurses are being honored with like the police department's exceptional service award.
Wow.
They saved his life.
How about those off-duty nurses just chilling by the pool?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like an air marshal. You don't know they're there.
But they're on the plane.
And then something happens on the plane and they come out and kick butt. Maybe that's just Wesley Snipes, but still.
They're there.
Yeah. It's like these, it'd be nice to have a hidden nurse at all pools.
Yeah.
All right. And Eddie was a lifeguard for a while.
Yeah.
Huh?
I had three saves under my belt. Oh my One God. Was a double save. Two people at the same time, man. That's right. Those were the days.
You did two arms?
Yes.
So you swam. You had them under both arms.
Yes.
Did you give CPR?
A mom and a kid. No, they didn't need CPR. They were breathing fine.
You had both. You were just only doggy paddling.
Yep.
In a pool?
In a pool.
With two arms. How far do you have to go?
That's probably, I would say, I don't know, 40 feet.
Why did they need saving?
So the kid gets on the diving board. He jumps. He can't swim. Mom sees that. Oh, my gosh. She panics. She jumps in. She can't swim either. So they're both like, help, help. So I jump in. I get the kid first. Always get the kid first.
It's an awesome activity to go with your kids if nobody can swim.
I guess it was my fault for seeing the little kid on the diving board. Not seeing the kid on the diving board. But then I get the kid first, and then I get the mom with the other arm, and I paddle back with my feet. Mm. Double safe.
I think we should recognize you in this.
Yeah,
tell me something
you get
good.
The Exceptional Service Award.
But from us. Not from the police, but
yeah,
from
yeah,
us.
Yeah, from us.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
thank
that's
you.
What it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Let's go! I'm going to tell you about an invention that, if it worked, could change my life and should probably change all of your lives, too. You probably won't use it. But if this works, holy mackerel. I'll tell you in a minute what this is. Also, Luke Bryan to come in. Friday Morning Conversation coming up in the next 15 minutes. Over to Amy now with the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
What did the triangle say to the circle?
What did the triangle say to the circle?
Ugh, you're pointless.
Oh, that's, yeah, look at that. That's a pretty good one. There it is.
That was the Morning Corny.
The Bobby Bones Show.
With the coronavirus, you see people wearing masks all the time, more so than ever. I'm a mask guy anyway. I always appreciate somebody wearing a mask, especially if they're sick. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great you wear a mask to keep it from spitting all over us. But this company's now making a mask of your face so you can unlock your phone with the mask on. A company has begun to sell protective masks that resemble your face. They allow you to unlock your phone without having to take off the mask. If you took off the mask and look in it, you're probably going to get a disease.
This is what you're excited about?
I thought that facial recognition was really just all about the eyes. Is it all about the whole face?
Amy, don't know.
What if you're puffy from too much salt?
Oh, wow. You can custom order your mask today at faceidmasks.com.
That's funny.
I was at the airport last week, and I'm at the airport a lot, but I did see a lot more masks being worn.
Mm-hmm.
In this coronavirus, and everyone's like, I don't know, just shut up about it. More and more people are, they just don't know how, what it's going to do. Like 2,000 people, I think, have died now.
That's what?
Crazy.
2,000.
Maybe
lot.
We fact check that. Maybe I'm just, Mike D, can you look that
that's
up?
That's a lot of people.
It's either 200 or 2,000.
Okay, minor difference.
It is factual. Yeah.
Wow, oh my goodness.
Even when I said it, it felt like a lot.
I know. Because it doesn't seem, it's very real, but something about it just seems like.
And the name is Corona after a beer, so it does feel a bit softer.
Mm-hmm. Not after a beer.
But
it?
I mean, to us it is, because we heard Corona years prior to this virus, and it was associated with getting drunk.
Yeah, by the beach.
If I hear one more Corona and Lyme disease person on Instagram being like, Corona and Lyme. Can I get my chroma?
Okay.
Anyway, the company made these masks. I think it's fantastic. Anything to keep me covered. I often think my phone is so disgusting and don't want to touch it. And now I've started to touch my phone with just the sleeves of my shirt more than anything. But it's hard to swipe and do the facial recognition.
Yeah. Do all you guys do facial recognition?
On your phone?
I don't.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't.
I don't.
Uh-uh.
Why? I type in.
I don't
like
want them to know my face.
They already know your face. Mm-mm. They have everything about you already.
Not my phone.
Eddie, you're uploading pictures to the age challenge. And he's like, I want them to know my face. Let's see what I would look like at 93.
I mean, we stream our show every day.
Yeah, every part of you is out there.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Luke Bryan.
First time you've been in here, huh?
I know. I'm trying to. I'm scared that y'all, like, I'm not used to the new studio and just kind of. Like I'm under the microscope.
Yeah, he's like squinting his eyes and looking at us like, what's about to happen?
We're used to this already.
You know us, we know you. By the way, congratulations on the American Idol premiere. It was
awesome, man. Good job to you, too. It's like, it's we've been ramping up with Idol, trying to get better and better every year. I mean, it's one thing to start or to come in on such an iconic brand and then try to up the ante, but we, you know, I felt like this, even watching the premiere, watching some of the edits, I never got to watch the whole premiere from top to bottom, but the producers would show me some of the edits, and I started getting real excited about, you know, what was coming together, and I thought it was a great start, and it's so fun watching it with my, like, I watch it with some family and friends, and they're like, they're the ultimate test group.
Because they'll tell you the truth?
They'll tell me everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like, from Katie's makeup to how pretty Katie's makeup looks to why we let that, you know. Like, my wife had a couple strong opinions, but we won't go into that.
When I was
Tally,
watching.
You know, she was like, oh, y'all are being too sympathetic here and there. And I'm like, baby, that's.
Somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it either. And I know, you know, everybody that got through, I know because I've been working with a little bit,
right,
but
yeah,
I didn't get to see them in the room with you. So when I saw Doug, the garbage man, I knew he got through. I talked to him before and after, but I hadn't seen you walking over, playing the piano
how
with
pretty
him.
Like, that was such a special.
I got a tear, and I know all of you, and I got a tear watching that.
Yeah.
Dude, I was having my coffee this morning and you know, looking at clips of Idol on YouTube, and like that thing, like it's got like 5.7 million views or something. I'm like, that is crazy that thing launched on Sunday and that many people have. I mean, it's like more than my music videos. I need to hire Doug to come in as PR.
Yeah.
Your family, you sit there and they're like, I can't believe you let them through. I can't believe you cut them. That happens with you.
Oh, yeah, they don't. My family cuts me no slack from songwriting to performances to physique.
What, are you still writing songs? Are you still able to write?
I wrote a song last week that was, it's probably in my top three favorite songs I've ever written. I'd say I'm writing three or four songs a month. If I can get, maybe more than that, if I have two full days at home where I have a clear schedule, like I'll try to get at least fill one of them with a writing day. And the fun part is like I'll have writers come out to the house and, you know, they get there about 10:30 and we'll go ride around and, you know, kind of knock around the farm and then we'll eventually get to writing. But it's been real fun, and I finally got my songwriting room kind of to where I want it, you know, where I can, I've got my piano in there, I've got some little cajones, and I've got a little drum loop machine, and so everybody, like track guys, can come in and plug into my speakers, and so it's finally getting to where I think it's just fun to be writing at the house.
Do you have the crew that you call when it's like, I have a couple days, this is my crew, you're coming out?
You know, it's funny, like Charles Kelly is like synonymous with like, hey guys, what are y'all doing this evening? You want to write? Charles hit me up a couple times last week on a group chain. And you know, when we like sometimes I'll want a day off and then I realize I'm bored in my day off. And I'm like, you know, or like a day like today. I mean, it's literally in Nashville. It's like spitting and raining snow. And I'm like, well, I had this envisions of, you know, going fishing or something. So if you have a bad day, you know, like a nasty day, you're not going to get out, you know, I'll get on the phone and like, hey, can I jump in with you guys? And that's what's funny is that's when some cool songs happen. When you plan these ideas, you know, you get these ideas planned, and the idea that you want to get this group of guys, you know, you call them up, hey, I got a great idea I want to write. They come over, that you give them the idea, the song isn't that great. And then the second song is the one that actually is, you know, so anyway, there's no form or reason of what makes a hit song. So
Luke Bryan's here.
I'm talking a lot. I'm going to drink some coffee.
Drink coffee. I watch your Instagram story, and is that pond or that small lake? Are you stalking that thing? Because every time I pull it up, you got the biggest bass and the biggest. And I'm like, was he launching his boat onto his pond where he has his? Because it's nonstop. Like, you guys are constantly reeling them in. It's like Bill Dance on Instagram.
Let me explain something about my bass fishing scenario. When I was a kid, all I ever wanted in life was my own bass lake. Didn't want anything else. And then fast forward, wonderful success in country music. So now I have three bass lakes and I love them. I truly like my guy that works for me, my farm manager, you know, when he and I started working together like 7 or 8 years ago, he'll laugh at me. He goes, you know, you told me that you really loved bass fish and that was your thing. He goes, I kind of thought you were just saying that because, you know, that's just what he goes after. He goes, you really love to bass fish. And I'm like, when I was a kid, I mean, I laid in the bed. I had a subscription to Bassmasters magazine. Like, I took notes on it and I just loved it. And so, like I said, to be able to, I remember being a kid and having to call, you know, you have stuff that, you know, you tell yourself you're going to want one day. But I remember being a kid and having to call people that owned a lake and ask for permission. And I got so much anxiety about, you know, having to call a farmer and say, you know, Farmer Johnson, can I come bass fish your lake? And, you know, that stuff, you don't know if they're going to say, well, no, we're kind of resting the lake. You don't know. So I told myself, if I could ever just have some bass fishing lakes, that if I just want to go fish, I don't have to call nobody and ask permission. So, and now I have people asking me permission, and I'm like,
are you ever letting it rest?
You know what? I tell you what, when people call me, like, I have a lake that I want to kind of quarantine for myself, but then I eventually let, you know, I'm like, You know, because I have a buddy calling me. Like, I mean, Dirks has been, you know, Dirks has called me before. Dirks has actually called me from his plane, you know, circling a lake. He's like, me and Knox, his little boy, he's like, me and Knox, we're out flying around. We may land and go fish at your lake. I'm like, heck yeah, that's what it's, you know. So as I fish a lot, I like to seeing children and people that have never caught fish. Jason Derulo came to the house one time, caught his first fish. I mean, literally watching Jason Derulo catch his first fish was pretty amazing.
Well, to brag on you a little bit, the biggest artist of last decade, like that's got to be something that, I mean, of a decade.
Are you claiming that?
I'm claiming, I'm saying it. Like, I'm using.
Is that based on opinion or
no,
statistical?
No, stats, oh, data. Both. Biggest artist. I was looking up some stuff here. I'm going to have your coffee here. 7 billion streams.
Oh, my Lord.
12 million albums, 4 platinum. It just goes on and on. But I wonder, after that happens, after you get the big fancy trophy and they tell you that you're King Ding-a-ling of the 2010s.
King Ding-a-ling.
Like, do you feel like, wow, like that was a big deal? How do you beat that? Or are you just like grateful that it happened? Or does it put you in a weird place? Like, how do I match that? Like, what happens there?
There's a lot of psychology behind that. The first thing is when you're in the moment of a decade like last decade, you're not realizing what you're compiling up. You're just in the moment, doing the shows, writing the songs. You're in the moment of trying to do your best for everybody, for everybody that got you there, your family, your kids, your fans, I didn't even realize when, you know, like October of 2019, like people would start talking about end of the decade awards. I didn't even know that. I'm not thinking about that. And then, you know, somebody's like, well, you know, you realize this decade, this is something you did. And I'm like, are you serious? And then, so whenever you start hearing that stuff, it really makes you, like, it makes you proud. I mean, like, I look back from, like I said, 2010 to the end of 2019, and it was just amazing. I mean, I've done everything I could have ever set out and imagined to do. I've checked the boxes. I'm happy. It's crazy. I'm happy. And now going forward, you know, I don't want to get into that mode to where if I'm not achieving what I've achieved, I don't want to be this, you know, I just don't want to be this sour guy about it. You know, I want to remember, oh my God, that was awesome. And you know what? If some other younger artists come through and you know, I'm got a song almost at number one and they pass me. And I mean, I'm not going to run around all week in a deep, dark depression talking to therapists to get me through it. I mean, I'm always going to be competitive and I'm always going to try to do what in my heart and in my mind is the best music I can do. And you know, it's like, it gets tricky. You know, you don't want to get redundant with your music, but then sometimes when you go away from being redundant with your music, your fans get mad, and then they say you've bailed on what got you there. So, I mean, it's a lot of little things you try to pay attention to, but at the end of the day, I just want to appreciate where things have been and just go out and really, like, I'm enjoying, like, last year I enjoyed my shows more than ever. I just walked out there and had a blast singing. As long as I can sing like I want to, I'm having the most fun in the world. And I'm just going to go into this decade, try to write the best songs, find the best songs and sing better. And like, even I got into a thing last week where I was learning blues licks on the piano. Like, I play piano, but I don't really know what I'm doing. And like, so I started learning blues licks. And then, like, so every morning I'm trying to get in a situation where go down, get on YouTube, learn some blues licks. And, you know, just trying to get a little better every year. It's like, I go watch Keith Urban play guitar and I'm like, all right, I'm never going to be. I mean, never going to be Keith Urban on guitar. Not even going to, you know. I mean, watching him play guitar in person is like, it just makes you want to not play guitar anymore. So, but I, you know, it's, I don't know. I got a lot of little funny things that I try to go for, you know. And but it, like I said, if things at the, when things, I'm not going to be this bitter person looking back saying, you know, I don't know. You know the deal. I mean, I've seen them. I've seen those people and I'm just like, I'm not going to be it. I'm going to go to my bass lake.
Luke Bryan's here. I looked up the top questions people search about you on Google. And so let's knock some of these out. What does Luke Bryan drive?
I drive a Z71 Chevrolet pickup truck. And then, so I have three boys, 18, 11, and 9. And they would all load up to go to the farm to go fishing. And then they would invite five buddies. Well, then I'd look in the back of my pickup truck and there were youngins piled on top of youngins. Didn't have enough seatbelts. So I went and bought a Denali, a grocery getter Denali that I jacked up, you know, rednecked it out. So now that's my when I know I got a bunch of hooligans to take to the farm. So I got two vehicles and like I'm so content with my vehicles. People call me up and they're like, the new so-and-so's out. I'm like, I love my vehicles. I had them Line-X'd, like the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
The bed liner?
Yeah, yeah.
On the inside?
On the outside.
Oh.
So I can literally run through a forest with no guilt.
Wow.
Question, how did Luke Bryan get discovered?
Oh, gosh. Many, many, many different phases of that. I would say Autumn House, Jerry House's daughter, was at Capitol. Larry Willoughby took notice. My manager knew Mike Dungan, the head of Capitol, real well. He came to several shows, which I literally laid an egg. It was the worst shows ever, but he stuck with me, offered me a record deal, told me it was going to be 2 years before I put an album out. But, you know, Mike Dungan, it was, and then my producer, Jeff Stevens, was in the mix of, it was five or six really important people that it all came together.
One more here. Why did Luke Bryan's first band, Naomi Road, break up?
Because it had to happen. No, we got Nate. God, what a band name.
Like, what year was that? Was that like high school?
That was, it started in 90, oh my God, I'm dating myself. It started in 94. So we were 16, 17. Yeah. And then I'd say it disbanded probably in 2001. So Michael Carter, who plays guitar, he started playing guitar for me in 1995. And he's still, so how many, God, I'm dating myself. Getting old, Bobby. Put me out to pasture.
The new album, Born Here, Live Here, Die Here, will be out April 24th. You can pre-order it now. So what's...
Please pre-order it so, you know, I'll show a big sales number and I won't go into that... I won't be a bitter old country singer. I won't go into that deep, dark...
But even if the numbers aren't what you thought, you're not going to be bitter
then
about
it. We just had this conversation.
You're going to remember how amazing the last decade
what's
was.
Funny, though, is you're like, I know the day the album's coming out. I'm waking up, checking numbers. Y'all need to, like, live stream me checking my numbers of the album, and let me see if I can... Anyway, it's funny.
I saw you releasing your own brand of beer next month. Is that true? Tulane American Golden Lager.
Yes.
How did you get involved with releasing a beer? And do you taste it to make it how you like it?
Well,
taste it?
So I am a world-renowned beer sommelier.
Is that a thing? A beer sommelier?
You know what? If there were one, I would call myself. So hold on. Let's get into this. How long we got? Anyway, so I started playing an amphitheater up in upstate New York in Canandaigua called C-Mac that's owned by Constellation Brands. And Constellation is a huge company. They own, they're really, really strong in the wine world, but then they own Corona, Modelo, and Pacifico. And I got to meeting, you know, a lot of the people at Constellation, and we said that, hey, let's do a beer brand. And Constellation doesn't really have a, you know, they didn't have an American lager, so we've been working on it for 3 years. It's really, man, to, like I said, another thing, you know, you talk about your things that you're proud of, you know, this business, but when I see my can, my beer can, that I know, that's almost like your album going out into the world. I mean, you know that can and that beer drinking experience is a part of me that people are going to go fishing to. They're going to go sit on a beach. They're going to vacation. They're going to share.
They're going to be able to buy it at your concerts. I saw that.
Yeah. You know, and we're launching in the Southeast, so it's not like, you know, people are like, you know, I've been checking. We started our Instagram and Twitter pages for the beer brand for Tulane. And some people are all mad. They're like, why can't I get it in Connecticut and California? I'm like, you know, it's you got to grow like anything, any business. You know, you don't start an underwear company by getting your underwear in every Walmart. I mean, it takes growing the brand. Yeah. So we're starting in the Southeast, growing it from there, and if and when it starts putting out some big numbers, we'll start chalking, you know, we'll start our world domination, hopefully.
Okay, here we go. To recap, April 24th, Born Here, Live Here, Die Here. You can pre-order now. The tour, the Proud to Be Right Here tour, starts May 28th in Cincinnati, goes all the way through October. American Idol on Sunday nights on ABC at 8, 7 Central.
Look at Bobby.
What's exciting is that we get to do live shows quicker.
Which are way more fun.
Yeah, fun for everyone.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Singers, people at home, you, me. It's just, it happens, and there's something about a live show that just makes the energy that
watching Lionel Anxiety, watching his anxiety go up on live shows is pretty fun.
Isn't he the greatest?
He's number one human being. Mm-hmm. Number one man, like,
and doesn't have to be.
And does not have to be.
Lionel Richie is the nicest celebrity I've ever met, and one of the nicest humans I've ever met. And just warm and kind, and he's intentional and spends time with you and looks you in the eyes.
Yeah, he's everything you want a hero to be when you meet. I mean, and what's funny is, like, I met him 5 years ago. He was that way, and I've never seen him have a bad day. I could pick up the phone and call him right now and go, Lionel, you know, man, I am stranded in so-and-so, and he will know somebody to get you out of it. I mean, he's so world-traveled and world-renowned and so respected around the world. I mean, his legacy and imprint is very inspiring. It teaches you to spread that. And he's done it. Nobody's done it, but in my opinion.
And he's the guy too. Again, when he tells a story, everybody shuts up. Around that room, everybody's all, there's a lot of things happening, but when he starts talking, you just go, well, let's see what nugget we're gonna get dropped on us now that
stop. I mean, you know, we'll be backstage at Idol and he's like, Luke, this is Lord so-and-so. Like, who do you know that, like, they're actually a Lord that they must be introduced as a Lord? I'm like, Lord, the one that sang Royals? No, like Lord.
Hey, nice reference.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming by. Congratulations on everything. You know,
I say
a lot of the stuff that you say about Lionel, I say about you behind your back.
Oh, well.
Because you really are, you know, at this point, I feel like we're friends, but you really stuck your neck out for me at a time when we just kind of knew each other professionally. But, you know, I say a lot of this stuff. I don't want to say it to your face, but behind your back, I'm really talking good about you.
Well, but you know what? And like I said, you know, I've been riding down the road and hear you say things about me you didn't have to say on the air, too, and defending me and... You know, and that's what you do for all artists in country music, when there's a disservice done, you say it. When there's people that need to be recognized, you make sure they get recognized. So it's fun to be in this. Anyway, I love you, Bobby.
Well, I appreciate that.
Love you.
How about, let me ask you a question. We have people filling in for Lunchbox. Does Caroline want to come do a couple hours of filling on our show? She can if she wants.
Yes.
I haven't had an issue about this. She can come up.
So am I officially her booking agent?
Yeah.
To tell her if she wants to come up next week, that chair right there, we've had people, Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC, we've had Travis Denning did it.
You let her do it. She'll have a blast. I mean, it's funny. I mean, her whole, like, I mean, she is, I wake up, my wife is like a celebrity. I mean, like, and it's not because... You know, she's a celebrity because she just, I mean, she literally, me and her sat down and she goes, you know, I think I'm going to start an Instagram. And I said, well, you know me and you've talked about it for years. And she goes, yeah, but I really want to just do it. And then I always want people to know I'm trying to have a charitable heart. And I'm like, baby, don't worry about that. Just start the Instagram. And next thing you know, I'm like, okay, you started it. Here you go.
She's funny though too.
It's fun, man. It's fun. We've had some fun moments. I mean, doing the pranks when she does a prank on me sometimes, I mean, it makes me so mad because she gets me. Like the water bucket, I'm just trying to go take a leak in the house and a water bucket falls on my head.
No, it definitely. I'm like, oh, this every now it's. I bet some
well, now there's a lot of
look
pressure.
Forward to it Christmas.
I bet she feels pressure.
Oh yeah, and then that was this year. You know, we were in the second year of pranks, and she's like, I don't have any ideas. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm freaking out. I'm like, baby, it's not supposed to be this way. Fight the monster. But you know, we had some fun. We planned some, and we didn't plan some, but she's a character.
All right. We're going to go. Appreciate you. Good luck with everything.
Thank
you. Got it all going.
Thank you.
There he is. Our friend Luke Bryan here at the Bobby Bones Show.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
A North Carolina funeral home is offering grieving people unique emotional support with a Bernese Mountain Dog puppy. Moki is the newest member of the grief support team at Macon Funeral Home in Franklin. The pup will go through official obedience training and professional therapy dog training to become certified by the Alliance of Therapy Dogs, but they wanted to put something there other than just the people that work there. Because let's be honest, they ain't very warm. Because you know why? Not because they're not warm as humans, but because they see it all the time. They become desensitized to it.
Yeah, true.
I know, my mom died. That was not good. And I felt like they were trying to upsell me on urns because I was in a really sensitive place.
Really?
They were like, oh, we should try the double risky automatic with 3 sensors. I'm like,
well, it can get out of control real quick, like price-wise, like the stuff, like all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And it's like, do we really need all that?
Mm-hmm. Well, shout out to this funeral home because they are bringing in a puppy. A puppy makes a lot of things better.
I like that.
I got to say, my dog has actually started to be okay.
All right.
Not great, but much better. Been working a lot with them. Like, I spend at least an hour a day because we finally have that time now where he's not sick. He doesn't have a cone on his head. He's not full of medicine all the time. We'll get in there. And he's starting to actually be. He has 2 Cujo hours a day where he just goes berserk. Other than that, he's doing pretty good. So there you go. I love dogs. I love this dog. Good for them. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
The Bobby Bones Show.
What's crazy is I don't know that there was a need to make our iHeart Country Festival bigger, but they have done it. They've added another massive star to the lineup. The 2020 iHeart Country Festival presented by Capital One is on Saturday, May 2nd. There aren't many tickets left. You can get them at texasboxoffice.com. The current lineup, Dierks Bentley, Sam Hunt, Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots, Dustin Lynch, Lady Antebellum, Kelsey Ballerini, Kane Brown, John Party, Chase Rice. That alone has basically sold out the arena. But now, dun-dun-dun, is there a drum roll to this? Can we get a drum roll here? Because I'm surprised because they definitely didn't have to add another artist, but we can't shake the artists off. They all want to be part of this.
Come on.
The last artist we've added, maybe you've heard of him. He used to have a mullet. Blake Shelton, everybody.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so...
Thank you. Wow, the crowd's really letting me have it here. Can appreciate that. Yeah, Blake Shelton's now added. So it's going to be a massive show. If, you know, hopefully you can get tickets and go. If you can't, you can stream it. You can. There's just so many things. So our 2020 iHeart Country Festival, Blake Shelton, the newest, the latest, arguably the biggest, right?
Oh, for sure.
Wow, he just added the biggest act. Tickets at texasboxoffice.com.
Bobby Bones.
What happened with your daughter?
Well, we were at Target, and I kind of have other things to do there that are boring for her, like over in the home stuff and, you know, detergent and food and stuff. So she stays over by the jewelry sometimes and plays, and she has her ears pierced. So she was looking through some packs of earrings, and they come with 10 in a pack, and they're not wrapped up or anything. They're loose on there. I mean, they're just, you know, you don't have to go through plastic to get into them. And so she finds a pack of 10 that she really likes. So, you know, she'd been great that day. So I said, yeah, if you want to pick out a pack, great, I'll buy it for you. And then when we get in the car, she talks to me about it. She goes, oh man, I love all these earrings. I'm glad I put them together. And I was like, what? What do you mean you put them together? And she said, well, they had like 5 different packs that had, you know, 10 different earrings on them. And she's like, I didn't like all the earrings on my pack. So I took 2 from the pack, other pack, and added them to my pack and replaced, you know, she swapped them out.
But she didn't know.
She didn't know. She thought you could just swap and make a pack of 10 that you like. So I was like, we just stole. I mean, we paid for them, but we...
I don't know that steal. I don't... Okay, I'm going
to... I know. I don't know what to do. Here's my predicament. We're already almost home. We live 20 minutes from Target. I wasn't about to go back and figure out the situation then, and now I still don't know what to do. Like, even if we went back, I don't know that we would be able to find the 2 that she took from the other and replace them back and swap it, and it would be the pack of 10 that it was supposed to be. So, like, do I just let it go and tell her that's not what we do?
Okay, my recommendation from all the kids that I don't have would be she didn't steal because she didn't know she was stealing.
Right.
So she accidentally modified what she paid for. But you have to teach her it's wrong.
Right.
But you also don't want to go back to Target and be like and embarrass her because it's a learning lesson more than it is a learning lesson because she did wrong. Here's what I suggest.
Right.
You tell her we can't do this anymore. And then how much the earrings cost?
They were like $6.99.
You take and you go, hey, we're going to take that money that we paid for the earrings and we're going to actually put it towards something to help somebody else.
Okay.
So because she doesn't need to be humiliated. That you save that for when she really does steal. Because that'll probably come up with every kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she didn't steal.
Were on clearance. Like,
well, that doesn't matter, though.
I know. I mean, I just felt like if I went. No, I know it doesn't matter.
Justifying.
No. I know it doesn't matter. But I just felt like if I go back to Target and make this like a thing, the person working is going to be like, these are on clearance. I have no idea where she swapped them out. Like, don't worry about it. So, yeah, I think if I'm safe from doing that, but we just do something good.
They would probably do that if it wasn't on clearance. They'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
And they'd probably play along with it because it's about the principle more than it is actual, the price of the earrings.
Yeah.
She didn't steal to, like, get away with it. She actually showed you. Look what I did.
Right. She just thought, she was proud of herself. She's like, man, I made a great combination. But she basically was like, Target should have done this little combo to begin with.
Teaching moment. But it's like, we can't do this. Here's why. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take $10 of your money and we're going to actually put it to help somebody.
Okay.
So there's teaching, there's good done. You don't have to go back to Target. She doesn't need to be embarrassed. All that.
Perfect.
How you feel about that?
I feel really good about it. You just made me feel really good about not going back to Target.
So I do. I'm always dealing with your kid. You guys' kids from afar.
Yeah.
Yes. Bobby Bones. All right, now time for Flashback Friday 1995. Here we go.
Flashback Friday.
This is 25 years ago. On this day, the biggest country song in 1995 is Gone Country from Alan Jackson.
She's gone country.
Look at them boots.
She's gone country. Back to her roots. She's gone country.
The biggest pop song is from TLC, Creep.
Creep.
Yeah. And the biggest thing of pop culture on this day in 1995, Pamela Anderson met Tommy Lee, and they got married just 96 hours after they met.
Didn't she just do that again?
Yeah.
Like recently?
Yeah.
What's old is new again.
I guess so.
I think they lasted 12 days.
So I guess she's learned. She's learned how to extend that from 90s.
What life's all about.
Well, I tell you what, they divorced in 98, so at least her and Tommy Lee were together for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, her thing is meet somebody and go to town, huh? Wow. That's Flashback Friday. Thank you very much.
Flashback Friday.
Luke Bryan was on today. Always appreciate that guy. Appreciate all of our guests who come in and have guest hosted this week, including Travis Denning yesterday, Kyle the Coin Guy the day before. Also coming up on Monday, Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC.
Amazing.
There's a lot. There's a lot. So Lunchbox's baby gender reveal was today. Listen to all that back on the podcast. Hope you have a good weekend. Amy, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Eddie, have a good weekend.
Thank you, man.
I think that's it. I bid you a fond farewell.
Thank you. We playing golf Saturday?
Tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Are y'all golfing?
Possibly.
Yes.
Right. I don't know.
We'll keep bringing it up just so hopefully like we do it.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, everybody. The Bobby Ball.